නමෝ භගවතේ වාසුදේවාය. So reading today from the fourth chapter, chapter entitled Transcendental Knowledge, text number 39 and 40. So we'll read text number 39. Shraddha valabhate jnanam tatpara samyatendriyah jnanam labdva param shantem achirena digachati. Shraddhavan, heard by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: a faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge, and having achieved it, he quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace. Purport: such knowledge in Krishna consciousness can be achieved by a faithful person who believes firmly in Krishna. One is called a faithful man who thinks that simply by acting in Krishna consciousness, he can attain the highest perfection. This faith is attained by the discharge of devotional service and by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, which cleanses one's heart of all material dirt. Over and above this, one should control the senses. A person who is faithful to Krishna and who controls the senses can easily attain perfection in the knowledge of Krishna consciousness without delay. We'll read the next verse also, text number 40, because they are connected. Ajna chasra jasnanascha samyasyatma vinashyati nayam lokosti naparo na sukam samshayatmanaha. But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. Purport: out of many standard and authoritative revealed scriptures, the Bhagavad Gita is the best. Persons who are almost like animals have no faith in or knowledge of the standard revealed scriptures, and some, even though they have knowledge of or can cite passages from the revealed scriptures, have actually no faith in these words. And even though others may have faith in scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, they do not believe in or worship the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Such persons cannot have any standing in Krishna consciousness. They fall down. Out of all the above mentioned persons, those who have no faith and are always doubtful make no progress at all. Men without faith in God and His revealed word find no good in this world nor in the next. For them there is no happiness whatsoever. One should therefore follow the principles of revealed scriptures with faith and thereby be raised to the platform of knowledge. Only this knowledge will help one become promoted to the transcendental platform of spiritual understanding. In other words, doubtful persons have no status whatsoever in spiritual emancipation. One should therefore follow in the footsteps of great acharyas who are in the disciplic succession and thereby attain success. Hare Krishna. So, firstly, I would like to welcome all of you to this Bhagavad Gita class. Thank you very much for coming. So, we are discussing this very important verse, two verses from the Bhagavad Gita, fourth chapter. We'll just read the verse once again. Shraddhaval labhate jnanam tatpara samyatendriya. Jnanam ladva param shantim achirena digachati. A faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge, and having achieved it, he quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace. And in the next verse, Lord Krishna talks about ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. So here we are talking about, firstly, a person who has faith, and such a person, how he can achieve the perfection of life, that is going home back to Godhead. And on the other hand, what happens to a person who does not have faith, who is doubting the revealed scriptures? For such a person, Lord Krishna says that he has happiness neither in this world nor in the next. So we see that not only in Krishna consciousness, but even for our day-to-day living, faith is such an important aspect. Without faith, we would not be able to make any progress. Even if we want to do even a small thing in this material world, we need to have faith. Like for example, when we become sick and we need to go to a doctor, so we hear about a particular doctor from somebody who tells us that this particular doctor is a good doctor. We go to that doctor. We don't go to his clinic and approach him and ask him to show his medical diplomas. We accept that he's a good doctor and he'll be able to treat us. Right? Similarly, when we hire a taxi, when we sit into a taxi, do we ask the taxi driver to show us his license? Do we ask him how many years you have been driving your taxi? Only if you're driving your taxi for a certain number of years, I'll sit in your taxi. No. We accept that this person who is driving the taxi is qualified to drive the taxi and he has a requisite level of experience. So even in our day-to-day activity, we see how we put faith in so many people. In order to do just the basic day-to-day things, when we go to the shop and we wish to purchase groceries, just by looking at the item, we know that this particular item has the requisite quality, whatever we want. So we buy that grocery with that amount of faith. And similarly, we see also that with technology, we are putting so much of faith in technology. I remember about 20 years back, these fax machines were introduced for the first time. Right? And everybody would be so much surprised that one side you put a piece of paper and the same piece of paper is duplicated onto the other side. It could be anywhere in the world. Right? Of course, about 50, 60 years back, when telephone was invented, it was such a novelty. Or maybe 15 years back or 10, 12 years back, when cell phones came to India. Right? People, only the very well-to-do people could afford a cell phone. Right? But nowadays, cell phone has become so common that everybody has it. I want to talk about email. You could be in any part of the world, and by sending a letter, which would normally take weeks in order to reach the other part of the world, now you can do it in just a few minutes. Right? A message can be transmitted across the world in just a few minutes. So this is technology. But this technology has been created by some mundane intelligence. It's this brain that has been created, that has created all this technology, and it is continuing to create so much newer and newer technologies. Earlier, people would be typing out things on a typewriter and then making it into books. But now you see that Srila Prabhupada's books, all the books that have been written by Srila Prabhupada, as well as all the conversations of Srila Prabhupada, all the lectures of Srila Prabhupada, everything is available in a small hard disk. Earlier, the number of books that were written would all, people would be referring to these books, and these books would be located in a huge bookshelf. Now, this whole collection of books is available in one single hard disk. And even this technology has undergone such a great change. I remember when I had begun my career in Siemens, we used to have this computer, one huge room, which was given to a computer system. And that computer system was so slow in processing, and it required air conditioning in order to cool it. I don't know how many of you may have seen such a computer system. Huge box, and there was those tapes, magnetic tapes, on which data would be stored. And if you wanted to access the data in a particular magnetic tape, you have to take that huge tape and put it inside the machine. And then you start the machine, and then the machine makes a huge noise. Huh? So that was a technology about 30 years back, when computers were still quite new. But today, we see that we are talking about not just megabytes, we are talking about gigabytes and terabytes. Huh? So we can get a hard disk now which can contain 1,000 GB of data. Right? It's called 1 terabyte, TB. And shortly you'll have 5 TBs, 10 TBs, 100 TBs, and so on. Right? So this is technology. And we are putting so much of faith on technology. We are accepting that this particular technology which has been created by man, there's so much of faith that is put on this technology. But ultimately, who has created this technology? It's the human brain, right? It's this mundane brain that has created this technology. And we never bother to question as to who has created this brain which has created this technology. We never question that. Who has created this brain? There's this very beautiful story of a cobbler and a brahmana. Just to highlight this particular principle about faith, we all know brahmanas who are so strict in their ritualistic duties. They like to get up in the morning, have bath, and then after that they will come before the altar, and then they will chant a few mantras and offer agarbatti and lamp and so on, flowers to the deities. So there was one such brahmana who was very ritualistic. Very, very religiously, every day in the morning, he would get up and offer all the paraphernalia to the Lord. Agarbattis and lamp and flowers, chamar, peacock feather. But because he was a ritualistic brahmana, he did not have any realization from doing this particular service. But he would do it because he was told that it's a ritual and you have to do it. Because you're a brahmana, you have been born in a brahminical family, a brahmana family, you have to do all these rituals. So one day it so happened that Narad Muni came to the house of this brahmana when he was performing his puja. So immediately this brahmana got up, welcomed Narad Muni to his house, washed his feet, and served him very nicely. And then he asked the brahmana asked Narad Muni, "So Narad Muniji, where are you going now? After you leave this place, where are you going?" So Narad Muni said that, "I'm actually going back to Vaikuntha." So we all know Narad Muni is a traveling preacher, travels all over the universe. So he told this brahmana that, "I'm going to Vaikuntha Lok." So this brahmana asked, "If you're going to Vaikuntha Lok, you must be meeting Narayan, isn't it?" So he said, "Yes, of course. Vaikuntha Lok is controlled by Lord Narayan." So he said, "Yes, I'm going to Vaikuntha Lok and I'm going to be meeting Narayan. Is there anything that you want me to ask him?" So then this brahmana said, "Narad Muniji, when you meet Narayan, you please ask him, when will I go back to his abode?" So this brahmana was thinking that, of course, the Lord will take me into his abode in this lifetime itself. I'm such a wonderful brahmana, doing all my rituals so wonderfully. So Narad Muni said, "Yes, no problem. When I meet Narayan, I'll definitely ask him your question." And then Narad Muni left the house of the brahmana. And as he was walking, he suddenly came across a very poor cobbler who was repairing shoes. So the moment he saw Narad Muni, immediately he paid his obeisances to Narad Muni and gave Narad Muni a sitting place, massaged Narad Muni's feet, And then there was a conversation between Narad Muni and this cobbler. And then the cobbler looked at Narad Muni with great humility. Jai Sisi Radha Gopinath Bhagavan Ki Jai. So he looked at Narad Muni with great humility, and then he asked Narad Muni, Narad Muni, whenever you go to Vaikuntha Lok and meet Narayan, please ask Narayan when I'll come, when I'll go back to his abode. So Narad Muni said, yes, definitely. I'll definitely, when I meet Narayan, I'll ask him when you're going to be coming back. So Narad Muni left the cobbler and then went to Vaikuntha Lok where he met Narayan. And then Narad Muniji asked Narayan, now please tell me, this, you have this wonderful Brahmana who is serving you every day. He has this pujas that he does for you. He spends so much of time doing this pujas for you. So please tell me, when will you come back to your abode? So Narayan said, that Brahmana, he will come back to my abode only after thousands of lives. So Narad Muni was taken aback, said, oh my God, this Brahmana is doing such wonderful service, but you know, Narayan doesn't recognize it. So then Narad Muni asked Narayan, okay, tell me, this cobbler, when will he come back to you? So Narayan said, this cobbler will come back to me immediately at the end of this life. So Narad Muni was again surprised, because this cobbler, apparently he didn't have any devotional quality, he was just doing his work. He was doing his service. So anyway, Narad Muni said, okay, when I meet them, I'll tell them whatever you told me. But then, Narayanji, suppose they ask me what you were doing over here, what should I tell them? So Narayan said, you tell them that I, in Vaikuntha Lok, I was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. So you have a needle and you have the eye of the needle. So Narayan told Narad Muni that you tell them that I was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. That means I was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. So Narad Muni was very surprised. He said, anyway, this is the instruction of Narayan. I have to follow it. So he came back to our Loka, to this material world. And then he went to the Brahmana. The Brahmana once again received him very happily, because he knew that he had come now from Vaikuntha Lok. So the Brahmana, after receiving him very respectfully, asked him, okay, now you have gone to Vaikuntha Lok, you met Narayan. Please tell me, what did Narayan say when you asked him that when I am going back to the spiritual world? So Narad Muni said, I met Lord Narayan and I inquired when you'll be going back, and he said that you will be able to go back only after thousands of lives. So the Brahmana was taken aback. He said, nonsense. I'm sure you didn't meet Narayan. I'm such a pakka Brahmana. I'm doing all these rituals every day. Early in the morning I get up, I have bath. I show this agarbatti. I do this puja. And in fact, whole day I'm chanting the Lord's name. How could I be having thousands of lives to go back? Impossible. You didn't even meet Narayan. So anyway, if you met Narayan, tell me what Narayan was doing. In a very challenging way, he asked Narad Muni. So then Narad Muni said, Narayan was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. So this Brahmana became even more angry. He said, you nonsense, Narad Muni. You're not even Narad Muni. You're saying that you went to Vaikuntha when you're not even Narad Muni. So he said, I don't want to have anything more to do with you. Get out of my house. So Narad Muni was very dejected. And then he realized, why is it that the Lord told him that this person would be taking several lifetimes, several thousand lifetimes to be coming back? So anyway, Narad Muni said, now I have to meet the cobbler. So he went to the cobbler. The cobbler was there, busy mending his shoes, sitting under a tree. So as soon as the cobbler saw Narad Muni, immediately got up, paid his obeisances, and then told Narad Muni, please, please come and sit down. Give him a nice place to sit. And then with folded hands, he asked Narad Muni, Narad Muniji, please tell me, when will I go back to the spiritual world? So Narad Muni said, the Lord has told me that you will come back to the spiritual world at the end of this life. So the cobbler was so happy. He said, oh, my Lord is so great. And then he said, Narad Muniji, tell me, what is the Lord doing when you met him? So then Narad Muni said, what can I tell you? I'm sure you're not going to believe this. The Lord was actually threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. He said this and then he waited. Because he knew that this cobbler, who will believe? How can you thread an elephant through the eye of a needle? It's impossible, right? Nobody, none of us would ever believe that such a thing is possible. So immediately the cobbler said, oh, my Lord Narayan, he's so great, he can do anything. It's possible for him to do anything. So this Narad Muni was taken aback. He said, do you really believe it is possible for somebody to thread an elephant through the eye of a needle? I don't think it is possible. Are you thinking it is possible? He said, of course it is possible. Cobbler said, of course it is possible. The Lord can do anything. And then the cobbler said, see, I'm sitting below this tree. And it is an audumbar tree. And this audumbar tree has several fruits, red color. So this cobbler removed one fruit that had fallen down on the ground and he opened it and he showed Narad Muni, see this fruit. It has got thousands and thousands of seeds, small seeds inside. So this cobbler said that if the Lord can put a huge tree like this inside a small audumbar fruit, why can't he thread an elephant through the eye of a needle? Right? So this is faith. The cobbler had the faith that the Lord could do anything. And when we think that all what has been created over here is a result of accident, because this is a philosophy that is put forward by some scientists. It's called the Big Bang Theory. This human world has not been created by anybody. It just came out of a big bang. At some point of time, millions and billions of years back, there was a huge bang. And from that bang, this material world was created. Right? So this is a theory that is put forward by some scientists and is accepted as an explanation for how this world has been created. But because we are devotees of the Lord, we understand that such a philosophy is completely ridiculous. How can there be anything created out of a big bang? Right? There's only destruction that happens out of a big bang. And what to talk about a creation which is so wonderful and which is working like this for, and which has been working like this for millions of years. The sun rises in the morning exactly at a particular time. The sun sets exactly at a particular time. And the sun gives exactly the same amount of heat that we can tolerate. Right? Can you imagine that if the sun, the scientists are saying that if the sun is a few thousand kilometers closer to the earth, if at any point of time the sun comes a few thousand kilometers closer to the whole earth will just get burnt up. We'll all get fried. Roasted. All of us would die immediately. But this sun, which is standing over there for so many millions of years, is giving us exactly that amount of heat that we are able to tolerate. Right? 100, 200, 300 years back, there were no air conditioners. Right? People were tolerating this heat and they were quite healthy, in fact. In fact, today, because of those air conditioners, there's actually more misery. Because you get into an air-conditioned room and then when you get out, you become so miserable. Right? Only so far as you're in the air-conditioned room, everything is comfortable. But once you get out, you're actually in so much misery. Right? Because it's an artificial situation. And when a person lives in an artificial situation, he's actually putting his body to a different experience, which is actually not good for him. If you are living in Bombay and Bombay experiences a particular degree of heat, then we are supposed to be, our bodies get acclimatized to that sort of a heat. We don't need artificial cooling in order to make ourselves comfortable. We will remain healthy if we remain in a natural situation. If we behave in an unnatural situation, that is the time when we fall sick. So the Lord has created everything so perfect. The rain comes at a particular time. A particular time of the year we have the rainfall. Particular time of the year we have the winter season. And the most amazing thing of this whole creation, I don't know how many of us have really applied our minds, but this ocean, the ocean is, which is comprising 80%, 70, 75 to 80% of the total surface of this earth, remains exactly the same place where it is. Have any of us thought of it like that? This is creation of the Lord. And if the ocean were just to move a few inches more, we would be completely inundated by water. So the ocean is remaining completely under control. Who is controlling the ocean? So this is the realization when a person understands that there is a supreme person who creates this entire universe, and not only creates but is also controlling it, making everything so wonderful for us to live in. And when we have that knowledge, then we develop faith. So it's a continuous process where when we have more and more knowledge about our Creator, about our Maintainer, gradually faith increases in us. So it's important for us, in order to increase our faith, that we are constantly hearing about the pastimes of the Lord. The Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, these are scriptures which talk about the pastimes of the Lord. And by reading the scriptures, we understand how great God is. God is great, we say, God is great. But do we actually understand how great God is? Because when we understand how great God is, then we realize how insignificant we are. The Srimad Bhagavatam tells us actually how great God is. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, actually doesn't do anything. He only plays a flute. He is there standing along with Radharani, enjoying eternal pastimes. And he does no work. His assistants do the work for him. Right? And who are his assistants? Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is his assistant. And what is the work that Mahavishnu does? Mahavishnu creates universes. Now we are one small planet in this particular universe. So just imagine, we are talking about this world, Earth planet. It's an insignificant planet in this whole universe. And this universe is one insignificant universe among millions and zillions of universes. And each and every one of those universes are coming out from the pores of the body of Mahavishnu. How many pores do we have in our body? You know what is meant by pore? There's a holes in the body which we can't even see from where we perspire. Right? So how many such pores do we have in our body? Has anybody counted? It would be a waste of time to count it. But we know that there are thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of pores in our body. Right? So from Mahavishnu's body, universes come out through his pores. Right? So can you imagine how large Mahavishnu is? If a universe like this, none of us have actually seen this whole world, right? How many of us sitting over here have traveled all over the world? None of us. Because the world itself is, according to us, so large. Right? But this world is just one small speck in this whole universe. So as far as each and every one of us are concerned, how insignificant we are. And yet we think that we are a controller. We are controlling this particular thing. We are controlling that particular thing. We are controllers of this group of people. I am the head of this family. And I am the controller of this family. I am earning for the family, or I am the CEO of this company. Right? I have 15,000 people working under me. But this human being, even me, he may have hundreds and thousands of people working for him. But in the ultimate analysis, if he considers himself in relation to Mahavishnu, he is absolutely insignificant. Absolutely insignificant. Right? So that is how great God is. So if we can't even imagine with our limited senses how great God is. And in fact, whenever we go out to preach, very often we ask this question, have you seen God? You're preaching about God and you're saying so many things about God. Have you seen God? Well, this is a question that is normally asked to us. And then we have to tell them, how is it possible for you to see God? With our limited eyes. At the age of 40, all of us require chashma. We can't even see properly with our eyes. We can't even see our own eyelids. And then we are expected to be able to see God. Right? Who is the supreme controller. Who controls everything. So we can't even imagine how great God is. So only the scriptures tell us how great God is. Mahavishnu is an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Lord Sri Krishna. And he has universes coming out of the pores of his body. Right? The universe that we are living in has come out of one of the pores, millions of pores in his body. So you can imagine how gigantic the size is Mahavishnu. So the Srimad Bhagavatam describes about the expansions of the Lord. So the servants of the servants of the servants of the Lord, the Srimad Bhagavatam describes. And from the sheer size of the personalities who are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can understand how great God is. So that comes through the medium of faith. As Lord Krishna says over here, a faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge, and having achieved it, he quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace. Because once he has the transcendental knowledge, then he understands how insignificant he is. I am not the controller. I am not the doer. I am just an insignificant speck. You know, like Srila Prabhupada would often say that a human being is a living entity who is trapped in this body just for a few moments. It's actually a dead body. We are all living inside a dead body which is flapping for a few moments. That's all that we are. Because our lifespan, which is maximum for, 100 years in the age of Kali Yuga, at the most we have a lifespan of 100 years. And as Prahlad Maharaj says to his friends, even in this 100 years, how many years are actually productive? The first 10 years of your life, you're a young baby to a young child. You don't even know what is happening. You're completely dependent on your parents. And then after that, you have to go to school. And after school, you finish your education, then you get a job. And then you want to get married. And then after that, you have children. And then you have grandchildren. So before you realize it, you have become old. In fact, out of your 100 years, 50% of the time of a materialistic person is spent in sleep. Right? Everybody likes to sleep for as much as possible. Right? Of course, devotees sleep for as minimum a time as possible because they know the value of time. We have such a short time in this material world, we would like to make use of that time as much as possible in remembering Krishna. Right? So devotees don't sleep more than necessary, maybe 6 to 7 hours a day. But a materialistic person, for him, the greatest happiness he gets if he sleeps at least for 12 hours a day. Right? He feels that I have really achieved something today. So 50% of a person's life is wasted only in sleep. And out of the balance 50%, when he's awake, he has to be earning a livelihood, having a job, maintaining his family. And the last 30 years, if a person lives to be 100, from the age of 70 onwards, it is completely downhill. Right? Your bones are aching. Getting up in the morning is such a difficulty. You can't get sleep at night. Your digestive system is not working. Whatever you eat, you can't digest properly. Right? Your teeth are falling apart. Your liver is defective. From the age of 60 to 70, after the age of 70 years, your body is practically on its last legs. Right? It's very difficult for you to just keep your body together. So Prahlad Maharaj explains to his friends that the right age for being Krishna conscious is not when you're old. Often we encounter this question when you go out to preach. Why are you being fanatic about this Krishna consciousness? Why can't you wait when you become old? Because that is the right time for you to practice Krishna consciousness. Now you're young. You're supposed to be enjoying life. You're supposed to be doing better things. Earning a livelihood. Making a career. Becoming a big man. Why are you spending the best part of your life in the so-called worship of God? You should do that when you're old. Right, this is the question that is normally we are confronted with. Now, very often, particularly our young preachers, our young boys who go out to preach and distribute books, they said, come on, this is the time for you to enjoy. This is not the time for you to be talking about God. Prahlad Maharaj is telling to his friends that this is the age, and Prahlad Maharaj was just 5 years old. And his friends were also 5 years old. And Prahlad Maharaj is telling his friends, this is the time when you have to start thinking about God. Not that you wait till you become old. Because as Srila Prabhupada would say, it is very difficult to make an old person to change his behavior. Like Srila Prabhupada would say, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Right? So to preach to an old person and make him into a devotee is very difficult. Because he's already set with his ideas as to what he should be doing and what he should not be doing. But a young person, yes, such a person is ready to be preached to and to be made into a devotee. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying that at the age of 5, we have to start this process of Krishna consciousness. Because there is no time to be lost. Every moment of our life, which is so short, is valuable and to be and required to be put into the best possible use. So once we understand this basic philosophy, then it is necessary for us to follow this process of Krishna consciousness. And one of the most important processes in order to strengthen this faith is to associate with devotees. Sadhu Sangh. Because by associating with devotees, we get the required level of strength to practice our Krishna consciousness. In fact, if one thinks about it, we need association for practically everything in this life. Right? Like when we are in school and we want to get the best grades, then we are always associating with students who are intelligent, who get the best grades. Right? If you come to college and you want to do well in college, you associate with those students who are doing well in college. If you go to medical school or to law school or engineering, you would like to associate only with those boys or girls who are doing well in the academics, in their academics, right? You understand how important it is for me to associate properly with the right sort of people. So association is important in every sphere of life. Right from young childhood to our old age. Even when we become old, we don't associate with young people when we become old. We want to associate with old people. Right? People who are of a same age group. We go and sit in the park and talk about our families, talk about our daughters-in-law, talk about our grandchildren. Right? This is what people normally do when you become old. So you want to associate only with the people of your age group. So similarly, in order to make our faith in Krishna consciousness strong, we have to associate with devotees. Those who have a strong faith in Krishna consciousness, we have to associate with such people. So the key to strengthening faith in Krishna consciousness is to associate with advanced devotees. And for that, we have to come to the temple. So temple, we don't come to temple out of sentiment. We have to understand that the temple is just like a university. Right? Just like how each and every one of us have to go to a college in order to earn a degree. Right? We can't be getting a degree by sitting at home. Of course, now they have started long distance learning and all that. But ultimately, if you want to be a good student, you have to go into a college. Right? And you have to spend a certain number of hours attending classes, doing your practicals. Right? For example, we have the IIT, which is one of the most prestigious technical colleges in the whole of India. And it's so well known that it's known all over the world. So if you get admission into the IIT, practically 24 hours you have to be in the campus. You have to do so many experiments and you have to attend so many classes and you have to pass so many tests and examinations in order to get your final degree, B.Tech degree, right? So similarly, the temple is also a college, right? Where we come to learn about spiritual life. What is Krishna consciousness? How do I go home back to Godhead? The questions that we have, what is the purpose of this human form of life? The answers to these questions can be got in a temple of God. When we come to this place and hear the the lectures that are spoken on the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, then the message of God, what He wants to convey, becomes very clear to us. So this is also an educational institution. And Lord Krishna tells us, what is the final degree that we get? If we want to pass this examination of life, then we have to remember Krishna at the time of death. At the time when we are dying, if we remember Krishna, then we pass this examination of life. If at the time of dying we do not remember Krishna, then we have failed in that particular examination. Of course, we get a chance to appear for one more examination, and one more examination, and one more examination. We have already appeared for millions of examinations. Yeah, in our past lives, we have been appearing for examination after examination, and we have been miserably failing. But Lord Krishna says, Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram. If at the time of death we remember Krishna, then we go back to His abode. Antakale cha mameva. So the final examination, which is basically death, which nobody can escape. Anybody sitting over here in this room can say that he is going to live forever? Is there anybody here? Right? He would be a fool. If anybody puts his hands up and says, yes, I'm going to live forever, what would you think about him? He would say he's a fool, isn't it? He's such a fool that he doesn't even know that he's going to die. But this is the nature of this material world. The whole world is arranged in such a way that it makes you think that I am going to live forever. I'm not going to die. In fact, Yudhishthir Maharaj was asked this question by his own father. What is the most wonderful thing in this whole creation? What is the most wonderful thing? And Yudhishthir Maharaj replies, he says, the most wonderful thing in this whole creation is that every day we see people all around us dying. Which is true. If you read a newspaper, that's all the newspaper contains. This person got raped and killed. This person met with an accident and he died. This person died of this illness, that illness. So Yudhishthir Maharaj's answer is that every day we see people around us dying, but we think that we are going to live forever. This is the most wonderful thing. And Yamaraj clapped and said, yes, Yudhishthir Maharaj, what you're saying is perfect. Because this material world creates an illusion for us to be thinking that we are going to live forever. So that is why when you come to this educational institution, which is this temple, we are told in every pravachan that you attend that you're going to die. Death is absolutely sure. It is inescapable fact of this material world. Each and every one of us sitting here in this room has to at some point of time or the other has to die. And we are told this again and again and again, because unless we are told, it is very easy for us to forget. And we keep creating situations around us to make us believe that we are going to live forever. We work so hard so that we can retire by the age of 60, right? Into a life of comfort. We think that my provident fund, my gratuity, my mutual fund investments, my shares, that will be adequate to take care of me when I am 60 years old. Right? So that from the age of 60 onwards, I can be very, very comfortable. Right? But that is the time when actually all the problems begin in our life. Right? At the age of 60 is the time when all the problems begin. That is the time when our body is completely uncooperative. Right? We have diabetes, high blood pressure. So we might have adequate material resources thinking that we are able to take care of our body. But all those resources are of no use to us. Because we can't even eat sugar at that time. We can't even eat some sweets. We have to think 10 times before we have food out in the restaurant, because we know that that food is high in cholesterol, right? So this is how the Lord has created this material world. It is created like this in order to make us miserable at every stage of our life. If we are young, then we are aspiring to retire and become old and retire with a big bank balance. And when we become old, we want to become young. Oh, see that young person. He or she is so fortunate. I wish I was young like him. I would give all my wealth to be young like that person. Right? So in this human form of life, we are always either hankering or lamenting. We are lamenting for what we don't have. Sorry, we are lamenting for what we had and we have lost. And we are hankering for what we don't have. So how can there be happiness when there is always hankering and lamentation? Happiness is impossible. And the scriptures tell us that this material world is dukkalayam ashashvatam. It's a place of misery and a place which is temporary. The Bhagavad Gita tells us in so many words, this is dukkalayam ashashvatam. But we are trying to make this a place of happiness. We are trying to make it sukalayam and shashvatam, permanent place. It's impossible. So when we understand the scriptures by reading it, by hearing about it from devotees who have understood the scriptures and who are narrating it to others, then our faith in this process of Krishna consciousness increases. As Lord Krishna says in the next verse, for a person who does not have faith, there is neither happiness in this world nor in the next. He's a miserable person. He thinks that this whole material existence is only for the purpose of gratifying his senses. Somehow or the other, I have to create facilities whereby I am able to increase the quality of my life. But Srila Prabhupada says here in the purport that those who don't have faith in Krishna consciousness make absolutely no progress, and they are the most miserable of people. Because at the end of your life, if you have not become God conscious, if you have not got detached from this material world, what happens to you? All that you can think about is the people with whom you have developed attachment in this world. Your relatives, your friends. And Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajata anta kalevaram. Tam tam evaiti kaunteya sadatat bhava bhavitaha. Whatever we think of at the time of death will be translated, will be carried forward into our next body. Right? So if you have the propensity of an animal, then in the next life, you will get the body of an animal. In order to be getting a facility to enjoy that particular propensity. So this is a law of nature. But if we become a devotee and we remember Krishna at the time of death, then we go home back to Krishna. And for that, we have to follow the process. Come to this temple, associate with devotees, chant the holy names of the Lord. In this age of Kali Yuga, the only recommended way to make progress is to chant the holy names. Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyata. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. The scriptures tell us, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, only the name of Hari will be able to release us from the cycle of birth and death. Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukkha Doshanu Darshanam. These four miseries are permanent in this material world. Janma, Mrityu, Jara and Vyadi. Birth, old age, disease and death. This is inescapable. No living entity can ever escape this four miseries. But a person who has understood Krishna can get out of the cycle of birth and death. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti. So Arjuna, anybody who understands about the birth and the pastimes of the Lord does not have to take birth in this material world at the time when he leaves the. So this is a guarantee that the Lord is giving in the Bhagavad Gita. We just have to learn the Bhagavad Gita to understand what is it that the Lord wants to convey to us. Anybody who understands the pastimes of the Lord will not, upon leaving his body, take birth again in this material world. So very simple. So the goal of life is not to make this place into a permanent place. The goal of life is to get out of this permanent place, to get out of this prison house where you are bound by the three modes of material nature, where you are trying your level best to make this place into a comfortable situation. You're working like an ass foaming in the mouth, trying to make this place into a comfortable place. It's impossible. We have to understand that. And when we understand that, then we are really making advancement in our journey home back to Godhead. So that is what these two verses are talking about. A faithful person has got full opportunity to go home back to Godhead in this same lifetime. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We have time for one question in case somebody has a question. Otherwise, we can do kirtan. No questions? Everybody is understood. So please take time to come to this Bhagavad Gita classes in the evening. If you can come in the morning for the Bhagavatam class, we also have a Bhagavatam class in the morning here. The morning program in the temple begins at 5 o'clock. And we have a Bhagavatam class which begins at about 8:15, 8:20, goes on till about 9:15. And also a Bhagavad Gita class in the evening. So please come, if you're able to come in the morning and evening, that's the best. But if you can't, come at least in the morning or in the evening. And hear this message of what the Lord wants to convey through the pages of the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna is none other than you and me. He is a devotee of the Lord who has been put in that particular situation so that the Bhagavad Gita could be spoken. So Arjuna is just representing all of us. And Krishna spoke the words of the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, which actually means to us. So if we hear this message every day, then our faith becomes strengthened. And we want to have nothing to do with this material world, which is in any case so miserable and so uncertain. We don't know when we are going to die. We know for sure death is certain. We might be subtly accepting that fact that death is certain, but when we are going to die, we don't know. Right? So we could die tomorrow, we could die next moment. So let us make this as the number one priority of our life, to understand this philosophy of Krishna consciousness and apply it into our lives and make our life successful. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.